All right. How's everybody doing? Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome to another set here with Brother Daniel. Science Trumpet here. How's everybody doing out there in Pow Talk Land? Good? Good? All right. Anybody have anything to share before I start tonight, before I do anything? It's like everybody's silent. There's Andrew. Okay. Brother Andrew wants to share, so you got the mic. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, good evening, everyone. I just wanted to get on tonight and share a testimony of what the Lord has done this past week. For a couple of months now, I've been going through a trial in which the Lord gave victory to this past week. When I look back, I can see how much the Lord has accomplished through all this. It has brought me closer to Him with more faith and deeper dependency on His wisdom and strength. There were times that I could not understand at all what exactly the Lord was trying to do, and it would have been easy to give up the fight. The only thing I had to cling to at times was that I had a witness deep down inside that it was the Lord trying to do a work in me and also get some things settled in my natural life. Thus, I was able to blindly obey what the Lord was asking me to do, and it was during that time that I sought the Lord to show me what it was He was trying to do. The Lord did make it real to me what He was doing and why, and He gave me the strength to keep going on. Then, this week, there was finally a victory, and everything became so crystal clear and real to me how the Lord moved and how He used the brethren in different circumstances throughout this trial to try to keep me on the path that He wanted me to go. Which brings me to an important point that I wanted to make in this testimony. There are times when we may have to blindly obey what we believe the Lord is telling us to do. One of the ways the Lord will speak to us is through the brethren. However, Satan will try very hard to get in and try to cause confusion. He might try with thoughts like, the brethren are right in this part, but you were right in that part. And thus, Satan will try to get our eyes completely off the battle by using that confusion, and then we are going down useless rabbit trails that can deceive and destroy us. If we can't stand firm in the simple fact that the brethren are speaking the truth that the Lord wants them to speak, then we become sidetracked from what the Lord is trying to show us, and that makes us ripe for losing a battle, because when you start hashing things out in your mind with who's right and who's wrong, then the next step will be to justify your quote-unquote right positions. This is why it is of utter importance to trust that what the brethren are telling you is truth and wisdom from the Lord. There's a song we sing called Hold On a Little Longer, and there are a few lines that go, hold on a little longer, hold on a little stronger, for the testings of the Lord are pure as gold. He may take you through the fire, but He'll burn out dross and mire. So hold on a little longer. Hold on. So I just want to encourage everyone to hold on to the truth. Hold on even through the darkness. And hold on to Jesus. So that was all I had tonight. Back to you, Dan.
Amen. Good testimony. Thank you, Andrew. Praise the Lord. Looks like we got Mom's going to share something.
Hi, everyone. Well, I have something. I was pretty stirred up this week over what's going on in this country. And I just have something pretty heavy on my heart tonight. This week I read a lot of news that Daniel printed for me from the internet. And things are really getting bad out there in the world. I believe God is allowing the evilness of our government to be revealed. And as one news commentator said, you have to be pretty dim-witted not to see what's happening, which is a destruction of America, the country we were all once so proud of. Pardon me. We were talking one night this week about the seriousness of being on the right side, on God's side. Someone mentioned a scripture in Joel 3:14, about multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. I believe God is revealing truth to anyone who will listen, warning people of the times we are living in. Our president, Barack Hussein Obama, has made no attempt to cover his stand for Muslims. One News Now, it's a thing called One News Now. They contacted a lady called Laurie Cardoza Moore, who is president of Proclaiming Justice to the Nation, about an editorial. I'm going to quote her. "Remember, President Obama said that when the winds change and the world turns against Islam, he is going to stand with the Muslims. He's been very clear about that," she commented. "And the Muslims aren't his political enemies. It's Christians, Zionists, and Tea Party activists, because we know the truth." She said that one only has to look where Obama is investing American tax dollars. He is not investing them in building democracies around the world. He is investing our tax dollars in building Muslim Brotherhood Islamic governments, unquote. You know, I remember him saying he thought the Islamic call to prayer was the most beautiful thing he has ever heard. Let me tell you, during our stay in Israel, we heard that call to prayer most every day, and it was one of the ugliest things I ever heard. You could almost feel the satanic vibes in it. He once said something to the effect that there is no room for anyone in this world who is against Islam. He tells us he is a Christian while telling others that this is no longer a Christian nation, and lets other world leaders know that he is a Muslim at heart. You know, while pondering on these things, pardon me, the Lord spoke a portion of scripture to my heart in 2 John. And while reading this scripture, I thought of a saying that is inscribed on the mosque of the Golden Dome in Israel: "God has no son." And compare it to John saying in the third verse of John 2, "Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Verse 7 says, "Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, or confess that he is not the Son of God." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Verse 8 says, "Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Look to yourselves, that you might receive a full reward and stay faithful to the word of God. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bringeth not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. For he that biddeth him God speed is partaker of his evil deeds." Now, I feel God has put this on my heart to say, if you are a Christian and you have campaigned for, voted for, or have accepted the evil policies of the Obama administration, you are wishing them Godspeed, and you are partakers of their evil deeds. You know, that's pretty serious. There are two sides to what is going on in the world today, the side of Christ and the side of Antichrist. Whose side are you on, Christian? God's word said you can't serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other. If something doesn't rise up in your spirit against the Obama administration, as one by one people are revealing the ugliness of what is going on in the government today, you better check yourself and do as the word says. See if you are still in the faith. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Eternity is a long time to spend on the wrong side. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Take a stand against evil and for righteousness. Jesus said your enemies will be those of your own household. Take a stand against your enemies in your own household. On the great day of the Lord, you'll be glad you did. When you hear Jesus say, "Enter into the joy of the Lord, my good and faithful servant." You know, I thank the Lord for sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in us and to lead us and guide us into all truth, even into political truth that can help us. This is on my heart tonight that God's watching, we're making choices, and I just admonish you tonight to make the right choice. Get along with God and make sure you're on the right side. Make sure you're on God's side and you're not on the side of the Antichrist. Shalom.
Amen, Mom. Good word. Thank you. Looks like Joey has something. Hang on a second. Come on in, Joey.
Wow, that was awesome, Ma. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't know if mine is going to be that powerful, but that was very powerful, Ma. Thank you for sharing that. But I kind of titled this thing that I wrote, Kings Must Go to War. When it was time for kings to go out to war, obviously King David remained in the comfort of his palace in Jerusalem. I'm not sure if he had a good reason in the Lord to stay or he was doing his own thing, but nonetheless, David neglected the battle of the Lord one way or another, and you know the rest of the tragic story. I've mentioned not too long ago that there's been a large percentage of people who hears the message of going on to perfection, who answers yes to the calling, but by their actions, they're choosing to say no in stepping out into the battlefield in order to actually begin to walk in the high calling. And one of the simple bottom line reason why is because they will not lay down the comfort of their familiarity. They want to keep their houses and lands, businesses and careers, friends and family relationships that's serving the God of this world. All of these things are tied in within their Adamic souls. To not let them go when God is asking you to lay them down is actually saying to God, no, because these are my hope. These are my security, and these are my happiness, because Jesus is not good enough for me. They have not made up in their mind that anything that's of this world is worthless, causing them to value the things of this world and exalting it above God. Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Colossians 3:1-5. When a person refuses to walk in the Spirit, or when his affections are on the things of this world and not on things above, false peace, ease and comfort in the flesh becomes God, allowing circumstances to dictate their steps instead of obedience to the truth. Therefore, he will never go out to war as a king. He will stay in the comfort of his palace or surrounding familiarity, as I mentioned above, and end up defiling himself in spiritual adultery and spiritual fornication and other perversions, and even end up committing spiritual murder or hatred against the servants of God, just as David conspired to have Uriah killed in order to justify his idolatry and cover up his adulterous relationship. Prior to David's fall, his process of victory after victory, all the way to his ascension to the throne by the hand of God and the favor of God, all those years marked him as a man after God's own heart. He earned a reputation of being a mighty warrior from his youth, subduing bears and lions with his bare hands, decapitating the head of the giant warrior of the Philistines. David was successful, even with mistakes and failures, but in brokenness and repentance, he would cry out to God for help and would rise up again in the battles of the Lord. That was until he got too comfortable, and somehow in the glory of his life and position, he failed to go out to battle spiritually against the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes as a king, submitting himself to Satan's temptation that caused his fall by his own covetousness. Perhaps because it was God's perfect will for him to go out in the battlefield along with his army and failed to obey God, I'm not sure. I don't know. But my point is that that David failed to engage in the battle of the Lord. I actually wanted to share this last Sunday, but you know. Anyways, I was meditating along these lines this week. I was thinking that whatever grounds and victories we've given to the Lord successfully in our souls, whatever we allowed Him to deal with us and allowed Him to redeem other areas in our lives, it is because we have done what's required of us to deny certain things, died to certain desires, and have fought the good fight until God gives us peace and end up seeing the manifestations of the change and the transformations He has done in us as we co-labored with Him in our obedience to the truth. However, when a person stops fighting as the Lord wants them to fight because of their pride and self-righteousness, when they start getting comfortable and start coasting, thinking they are successful and victorious, and start to ease themselves in their glories and blessings, little do they know that they're already backslidden even way before Bathsheba shows up. They've been perverting themselves, coming under the power and control and influence of Satan, that they end up fulfilling the lust of their wicked flesh and rebellious heart, all because they refuse to go out and wage war against themselves and the enemies around them the Lord's way. The fall of a man does not begin in the actual act. The fall of a man began in his rebellious, wicked heart that's been doing premeditated, lawless acts and attitudes, choices and behaviors against God's ways and His righteousness without repentance. Such lawless choices and behaviors may appear legal or innocent in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God it is rebellion, because their heart is not perfect but partial toward God. Their love is towards other things in the flesh, which is enmity against God. And without brokenness and contrition before God, it will remain unchecked without repentance until Satan shows up with a temptation, and that hidden wicked rebellious heart ends up being manifested and God exposing it in the presence of all, as the Lord says, "You are that man." In Isaiah it says, "Rise up, ye women that are at ease, hear my voice. Ye careless daughters, give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease, be troubled, ye careless ones, strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins." If you are truly pressing on with all your heart to come forth in Christ, you will experience the resistance of the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of this world in you and around you, that will cause you to never be passive and never remain at ease in your flesh, but be busy and diligent, desperately cry for God's help, because you will know that the battle is so real, and realize that it is impossible to win without God's favor and strength in your life. You will purify yourself in godly sorrow and repentance and separation, so you have clear communion with God to hear His voice. He is warning all of us to rise up from the state of condition of being at ease, because calamities are coming and He will judge all people. Not just the wicked world, but He will judge wicked, rebellious Christians as well. We must be ready to be on God's side, and now, okay, in order to be prepared when He comes. So anyways, I'm going to end this just right there for now, and then I'll give it back to Dan. Thank you.
Good show, Joey. Good word. Oh, Seth has something to share. Hang on.
Thank you, Joey, and Ma and Andrew. Them were excellent testimonies. I had a small victory won as well. The past 2 weeks, Cameron, Joey, and I have been going through some real trials and battles at McDonald's. But the Lord is definitely there, and He's fighting for us. It's very amazing to see. 2 weeks ago, we were having some trouble with an assistant manager that absolutely hates me and Cameron and Joey, but me and Cameron work with her a lot more. And she was making fun of us and saying things out loud to the other crew members. And when we came home and shared the story, we were, Dan suggested to us that we tell her, or pull her and the manager into the office and say that we don't appreciate it and we want to stop put to it and to take it further if necessary. Well, we were praying about it, how we should handle it, and if we should do it how Dan said. And the next day we went into to work and found out that she was either talked to or put on the night shift or suspended for 3 days for being rude to us and saying all of them those things and to the other crew. So I was very thankful and praise the Lord for fighting a battle that I didn't have to do. He took over for us. And then we also had to talk to somebody about something very important, that they were going to make a mistake, and we went into McDonald's and talked with this person, and then the manager was very disappointed in us and said that we were no longer allowed to do that, no matter what the circumstances were. Well, we had to stand up for the Lord and say, we will speak when the Lord wants us to speak. Our job did not mean anything to us. Our job does not mean anything to us that we will not speak if the Lord says to. When he says to do something, we will do it, whether you like it or not. Well, the Lord had took over that situation as well, because we were afraid that we might actually have to leave McDonald's, but the Lord took over again, and the manager apologized to us and said, I understand your situation a lot better, she said, and what you have to do, you have to do. So for right now, the Lord has fought our battle for us and helped us get on top, and I wanted to praise him and just share that with you all. Well, back to Dan.
Amen. Good testimony. Very good. And the moral of that story is, don't listen to Dan when he tells you something. No, they did good. That was a real serious battle. Okay. Anybody else have anything to share? Johnny has something. Go ahead, Johnny. You got the mic.
Hi, everybody. And while listening in tonight, I just had some comments and some input on the messages from Andrew, Mama, and Joey anyway. And on Andrew's, I got two comments on Andrew's. I really was also blessed with Andrew's breakthrough in the situation he was being dealt with, which has been taking place for months, because I have had a type of that situation in my past way back when. And I know how they can turn out, and I was really concerned, and I had said a lot of prayers for that situation, so I am overjoyed with how that turned out, and the Lord really did intervene there. And also, when he was mentioning about the blindly follow, that has been something that I know you have mentioned over the years, Dan, way before I even came here. And I'm really blessed that the Lord had before I even got here, and especially after I got here, inside of me was a confirmation from the Lord that the brothers here are serious, they speak truth, and what they have for me is from the Lord, and it is going to benefit. And I had to do that many times, blindly follow, and the fruit of that is beyond measure. It has caused me to understand how the Lord must work with some vessels that have spent a lifetime of being wrong. And that was the comments I had on Andrew's. And Mama's message, that was awesome, Mama. And because everybody here has known that until I came here, I have been so busy in the world that I never even knew what was going on in the government whatsoever, which sad to say is so many Americans are just not with it. And I have come to understand what's going on. It has caused me to become fired up many times. It has caused me to very much dislike what's going on. This this government is not good, and actually the Lord has opened my eyes to understand what's going on, and to helps me to press on in him for sure, because there ain't very good times coming up here. What the Lord is about to do has been prophesied for ever, and it's about to hit the fan. And when Joey said, I mean, all that stuff it's what the Lord called me to do also. There has been many things that I have had to take out of my life And the fruit of it is freedom. When you obey what the Lord has for you today, freedom comes. Step by step by step. And obedience is a must. I have just come to so realize how important obedience is. It's just like a whole new revelation to me in the past few weeks and months of how important obedience is. And Seth's testimony too, that was awesome, because I knew what kind of a deal that was. Amen to brothers and sisters. I'm blessed. And I want to keep pressing on. And back to Dan.
Okay. Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for that testimony. It's good. Well, we're going to continue on with this thing about the Nazirite vow. Probably do a little recap here. But last week we went over the general overview of the Old Testament Nazirite vow and how it's a picture of a life of total commitment to God under the New Covenant. I said that just as God's people under the Old Covenant could choose how close they wanted to walk with Jehovah, and that taking a Nazirite vow was one of the ways you could walk close to Him, so God's people under the New Covenant can choose how close they want to walk with Jesus. God's not a respecter of persons, never has been, never will be. He gives us what we want as far as our relationship with Him, if we're willing to pay the price. Many of today's Christians say they want to walk close to God. They say they want to love God first, He wants to be Him to be their first love and all that, but what they fail to realize is there's a direct correlation between closeness to God and separation from everything that's worldly and carnal and sinful and unholy and spiritually unclean. See, because you can't walk close to God while you continue to practice known sin. We can't walk close to God while we continue to live a carnal lifestyle. We can't walk close to God while we allow ourselves to continually be defiled by spiritually unclean things, unclean desires, unclean goals, unclean habits, unclean relationships. All right? The God of the Bible, the God of Israel, is holy, righteous, and spiritually pure. And if we want to walk close to Him, we want to have a close union with Him, we have to allow Him to make us holy and righteous and spiritually pure. Now, we don't have to be perfect, but we have to be allowing Him to work in us and choosing what you do, what's right. You know, there's many things in our personality we don't know are wrong. Things, desires, and goals we don't even know are wrong, don't realize it yet. But we got to walk in the light God's given us. If you walk in the light God's given you, then He'll let you walk close to Him. You see, what happens is everybody wants to walk close to God, but few people are willing to pay the price that it takes to walk close to God. And that's where everybody gets in trouble, because they want to walk close to God, and they say that, and they try to, but then they won't let go of their sin and the things they know wrong and all that. People won't let go of, you know, their jobs or careers or whatever, and they get in trouble. They open up to another spirit, because God doesn't play that game. He says, I'll walk close to you, draw close to Me, and I'll draw close to you. This is what you got to do. Stop sinning, stop doing this, stop doing that. If you'll put the body to death, put the sins to death and all that, I'll help you walk close to Me. But if you play games with Me, I'm going to turn you over to your own sin and deal with you as you're dealing with Me, and turn you over to another spirit. And that's just happening to probably millions of people right now. Also, I said last week that we're no different from the Old Testament nation of Israel, the Old Testament saints, in many ways. In some ways we are, some ways we're not. One way we're not is that just like the whole nation of Israel was called to be a holy people unto the Lord, so they could be a light to the nations, so the New Testament church, the entire New Testament church, is called to be a holy people unto the Lord, so we can be a light to the nations. It's the same calling. And even though the entire nation of Israel was called and separated unto the purposes of God, even though the entire nation had become God's peculiar treasure, it was still possible for individuals in that nation to walk in varying degrees of closeness with the Lord. And the same is true of the New Testament church. Even though the entire church has been separated to God and for His purposes in the earth, even though we've been become His peculiar treasure, we're a royal priesthood, it's still possible for individuals in the church to walk in varying degrees of closeness to the Lord. The level of separation to God which requires a separation from spiritually unclean things, that exists between Israel's general calling and the individual Nazirite vow reflects the different levels of separation from the world and unto God that we see between believers today. In today's context, spiritually speaking, when people choose to become a spiritual Nazirite, they are choosing to walk according to a higher standard of righteousness, a higher standard of holiness and purity than the rest of the brethren in the church. And like I also said last week, it, unfortunately, it always happens. At some point, that higher standard that these spiritual Nazirites are walking in collides with the lower standard of holiness that most of the rest of the believers in the church are walking in. All right, because we cannot partake of many things our brethren in the churches can. And when those two different standards of holiness and purity collide, the average Christian who's walking the lower standard doesn't understand it and always begins accusing spiritual Nazirites of being Pharisees, of walking in elitism, thinking they're spiritual elite, thinking they're better than everyone else, or being part of some kind of religious cult. And they act that way because they haven't been taught that there are different kinds and levels of walks in Christ, or that there are varying degrees of closeness to the Lord that we can experience, or that experiencing these things are the result of what we do, not the result of being simply saved by grace. See, most of today's Christians, like I said last week, they've been taught package deal Christianity, meaning they've been taught we're all the same, we're all sinners, we're all saved by grace, the same grace, and we're all going to get the same rewards because we're no different, we're all saved by grace. You know, the whole idea that there are different levels of consecration to God or closeness to Jesus, which produce different types of spiritual rewards both in this life and the next, which comes as a result of something we do. See, Jesus says, draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. That's something we do. That whole idea is a heresy to them. See, because in their minds, according to the grace they've been taught, you know, if I can get a better reward than you by being more faithful to Jesus than you, then we're not all equal. It's a totally unscriptural idea that's being taught in the churches right now, because Paul's doctrine of grace has been twisted beyond recognition. But the fact is, it's true. Most today's Christians are absolutely against the concept of individual effort. Individual effort is bad. And then something, and right now, our country is going the same direction. Individual effort is bad. It's the collective. Nobody wants you to stand out. Capitalism's bad. Individual effort's bad. Just mold in with the crowd and receive your handouts and don't be different. It's the same thing, same spirit. It's in the church, it's in the world. It's because the church opened up the world many years ago. Individual effort is bad. Christians are against the concept of individual effort when it comes to salvation. See, because we're all sinners, we're all saved by grace, and we all get the same kind of rewards by grace, not because of what we do or don't do, when it's all over. So in their minds, anyone who tries to be a better Christian than those around him, anyone who strives to obtain a better reward or a better resurrection than the Christians around him, well, he's trying to be saved and rewarded by his own effort, by works, instead of by grace. When you get it by grace, you don't have to do anything. God's doing it all. And we're all on the same level playing field. We all get the same thing regardless of how good we are or how bad we are. When you put individual effort forth to be better than you were last year, to overcome things you haven't overcome, they see that as an effort to be saved by works or be rewarded by works. And that threatens them. That threatens their whole doctrinal view. It threatens to pull down the whole house of cards that they believe on top of their heads. Because if you're right, they're wrong. They're going to lose a reward. They might end up in hell if you're right. It's a very threatening idea, this God rewards individual effort. They can't stand that. And neither can communism. So there's a parallel going on between the church and the government and the world right now.